Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sorry, I'm yelling at Joe as he walks in the room. Joe walks in the room, I take a pause, and then I just go all in on him. I could have done this at any point in the morning when he's just behind the glass. But I still like have the frustration of Saturday morning on my chest.
Yeah.
Sorry.
When it's a four-year tournament, I imagine those feelings last a little longer than something that's played every season.
It's not like we'll get them again next year.
Right.
It's like I have no idea what's going to happen over the next 4 years.
Right. A lot of things can change in 4 years.
Anything can change. So, I was a little disappointed. I was more disappointed. I was less disappointed in the U.S. and the World Cup and how things went as I am just with, like, at some point, Joe, we're going to have and you know when it's going to happen? It's going to happen whenever the end of the Bills season is, if it doesn't end in a Super Bowl.
Oh, yes.
This is when we're going to have this conversation on, like, what fan expectation versus reality or just, I don't know. I feel like more people are watching these things looking for something to complain about than they are out of enjoyment.
Yes. I will say 100% people are looking for something to complain.
It was like very evident to me with like some fans watching the World Cup. But like it's not just that. Like, I was at a Sabres game the other week, and I've got a row of fans behind me at a 0-0 game just going after Casey Mittelstadt, who, you know, I don't know. I'm not like... every game tuned into the Sabres. He's having a little bit of a rough season.
Yeah.
But I would never imagine being the person to be a fan of a team and go into the game before like anything really happens and just like berate somebody on the team that I'm rooting for and think that's fun. And then you know what happened? Casey Mittelstadt scored a goal and I immediately shot up out of my seat and turned around and just yelled in their face, "That's right, that's my boy, Casey. Don't say anything bad about him. Look at what he just did." But like you get that in every single game.
It's like,
and I've been derided for being like a negative fan at Bills games before. Last year's home opener against the Steelers, when it was kind of clearly evident that we weren't going to win the game.
Yeah, I think that's an okay game to be negative.
I was kind of down. But I wasn't, like, negative. I just wasn't, you know, in the mood to sing the shout song after a field goal. Like, if I know we're going to lose.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I have people saying, like, come on! What are you gonna...
Can I tell you right now? The shout song after a field goal is only appropriate if it's a game-winning field goal, in my opinion.
End of a half?
Yes. Yeah.
Something like that.
I'm not singing the shout song. Hey, it's 10-0. We got it within a touchdown. Yeah, okay, I'll sing the shout song when it's tied.
But I see it like everywhere. Just I feel like some people are fans just to complain.
Yeah,
and I don't see the fun in that.
Right. There are people in all aspects of
life.
You
can complain, by the way. You can be critical of you know whatever it is you like, and that a sports team or a TV show. But I don't. When you're just like, it seems like you hate the players and the.
Yeah, what are you a fan of?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think in all aspects of life, people like to complain. I feel we complain more as a people. We complain more. Mm. And maybe it's because, as you said before you're on the air, maybe I get that way because I read social media.
I don't know if we complain more or if it's just amplified because everybody's complaints can just be instantly transmitted.
Yeah.
To everyone on Earth, which I thought Elon was supposed to take care of. I thought you were buying Twitter to just end it, but I guess not.
No, he's gonna expose Twitter and then he's gonna end it. I the more I see on Twitter and people's reactions on Twitter, the more I like your idea of just buying Twitter
just
and completely
shut it down.
Shutting the entire site down.
What a legendary move that would be.
That could be a tax write-off, right? He did a service to the country.
Yeah, it's a charity. It's a billions and billions of dollars charity. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm listening to everyone complain about this. What'd you expect?
But, you know, Team USA, as I said, that carries the weight because now it's 4 years, right? I mean, there's other tournaments, but the real big one is 4 years away in America, but it's 4 years away.
My favorite is, like, criticism that's, like, very vague with no real comeback of what you would do instead.
Right. Just like, this was an awful move. So the alternative is...
Can you spell out the alternative for me and why that would make sense? Anyways. So I was just... you walked in here and I just started berating you. I apologize
for
that.
No, anytime. You have to listen to my Mets, Virginia Tech stuff all the time. I can listen to your Team USA stuff.
Joe, would you say you believe in Santa Claus or not?
I do. I believe in Santa, 100%.
Okay.
Up on the housetop.
That's one of the things you can call in for, 803-0930. Would you say you believe in Santa Claus or not? There is a now record number of New York, well, record since the Siena research started asking the question in the last 15 years. 39% of people say they believe in Santa Claus. All respondents, by the way, over the age of 18. The biggest group of respondents who believe, age 35 to 49.
Very nice. Very nice. I have to say, I think, you know, believing in Santa is just the belief of Christmas spirit, right? It's the belief of the holidays. I think there's a lot more than just believing in the person Santa.
I love believing
in the belief of Santa. And hey, this is, regardless of your age, a magical time of year.
Do you believe in Santa? 803-0930 to join us here on WBEN. Joe, I love the way you're taking the question. My assumption is that 100% of the 39% who answered that they believe in Santa Claus took the question exactly how you described it.
Yes.
Joe, I just want to look at this from what the question is. Question number 33.
Okay.
Would you say you believe in Santa Claus or not? And that's the question. There's no... Would you say you believe in Santa Claus or not? Joe, I would... My answer to that, I hate to rain on your parade, my answer would be no, just because in the past couple of years in my house, the gifts under the tree that came from Santa, I watched my wife write that word on the gift, so I'm going to have to go with no here.
Well, you know, I still get I get gifts from Santa every year when I go to my parents' house. We also get gifts from the Hokey Bird. So those
Wow.
Are, yeah, so... I believe in both Santa and the Hokey Bird.
The turkey, I feel like you should be, because you just wash right over Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And just go right to Christmas at the end of October. But a turkey is giving you Christmas gifts. You should spend a little more time on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, maybe, or maybe that's when the Hokey Bird's gifts should be given. But when we go to my parents' house, the Santa and the Hokey Bird had visited the night before, and the gifts are under the tree.
On our text board, of course, people aged 30 to 49 believe in Santa. We are Santa. You know, if you don't believe, you don't receive. I like that. Is that the rule in your house?
What's that?
If you get gifts from Santa.
Yes.
If you were to come out here and say no to answer that question, would the well dry up in house?
If there's no belief, the sleigh can't ride. The sleigh can't fly unless people believe
you
in Santa.
You learned that from the movie.
The movie Elf. We learned that. But, you know, I just want, for the kids listening out there, you know, obviously Brian is lying. I mean... He and his wife do not wrap Santa presents. Santa,
I never said that.
Santa drops them down the chimney. That's exactly what happens, and you wake up, and there are the gifts. Now, it's different in some houses, you know? I mean, Santa sometimes will wrap the gifts. Depending on the year, Santa at my house would either wrap the gifts or just throw them under the tree. Again, some years you'd have to guess who the gifts were for. But, you know, it depends on the mood he's in when he gets to your house.
I took my son to see Santa after.
I saw Santa yesterday.
Were you on the lap?
No, Santa didn't leave the sleigh. We sat in front of Santa.
That's still going on, isn't it?
What's that?
Like the whole like no, is Santa's lap over?
Well, I don't think I would have been able to sit on Santa's lap, but yeah, I mean at this event that I went to yesterday with my nephew, no one sat on Santa's lap. It was in front of Santa.
It's kind of, you know, it's disappointing.
I know.
It's a Christmas tradition gone. That was what it was like. It was almost awkward. Well, with my son, I had to, last year, had no problem, was all about it. You know, went right up to him. This year, little petrified.
Of Santa?
Of Santa, which is bound to happen at some point. Strange guy,
so what does he,
big bright suit.
Does he yell his request to Santa? I mean, how close to Santa can he get?
Well, he had some people were in front of Santa, some went right up to him. My son ended up giving Santa and Mrs. Claus big hugs.
Nice, okay.
He didn't, I don't think he got the whole, like, tell Santa what you want for Christmas thing.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it had to be coaxed out of him. Was asked if he'd been good. Didn't hear what he said. That would have been a very interesting answer for me. But it went pretty smooth. So he believes, I mean, he saw him right there. My big thing, though, and that I'm kind of nervous about, is that he is also going to see Santa at a Christmas breakfast this weekend.
Okay.
And, like, he's three, but he's a pretty observant guy. I hope the Santa looks pretty similar to the one he just saw.
Well, again, Brian, if I go back to...
I'm waiting for that this weekend.
If I go back to my knowledge of Christmas movies, the Santa you see at the mall, that's not the real Santa.
What's an ambassador?
He works for Santa. You know what movie we're referencing here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, right?
Home Alone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know how it works. You work for him.
I don't know what I was told or believed.
You know, I remember as a kid going to see Santa. We would go to either the mall in Roanoke, Virginia, or in Richmond, Virginia, depending on the year. And I always was like, oh, we just happen to be in this town when Santa's here.
Every town.
Every town.
Every time. It's amazing how that works out. I don't know. Is that... I mean, I guess that depends on what you believe. If it's a Santa ambassador or if it's the actual guy. And you just never might know when meet the actual one.
That's right. Santa's on tour.
You never know where he pops up.
I know. Could you imagine if Santa on tour had to start selling tickets?
Ticketmaster would be crashing.
But you know, this question I've always asked, because there are people on the text board. What does it hurt in believing in Santa Claus? I think that's a question that I'd like the
Again,
answer to.
Again, it depends on, by your definition, how you answer that question, or an actual literal belief, because...
If you're over the age of 10, I would hope if you're asking that question, you're asking it the way that I perceived it.
I don't know.
Unless you're talking to someone who's younger than 10.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that works out. Listen... I just was interested in the question, the way it was asked. It was asked in a very matter-of-fact way.
It was.
So you could take it however you want to. I chose to take it very literally.
But that's, you know, I mean, that's on Sienna. They should have... But if you're asked that question, if you as an adult are not, you know, watching Nickelodeon or the Disney Channel, don't you take that question as the belief of Christmas, the Christmas spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you as an adult now, if you're reading that in a children's book, then obviously this is to be perceived differently.
I'm just being a little bit of a jerk here.
That's, no,
yeah,
but obviously, 61% of people took it the way you took it.
Yeah, or
don't believe in the magic of Christmas,
or don't believe in the magic of Christmas, or just have not a single funny bone in their body. I mean, if Sienna were to approach me and ask that question, I probably would have said yes.
Yeah, you could have.
Just to be within the spirit of things.
Yeah, see, the spirit that we've all been in since October 25th, the spirit of the holiday season.
Yeah. It is interesting, like, how parents handle the whole thing. I mean, we don't worry about it too much. But, you know, somebody says, okay, other Santas are Santa's helpers. That's probably what I'm going to go with if
I get asked the question.
No, but we've never had the situation where it's Santa twice in about a week's time.
But this weekend he goes up to Santa. So we talked last week.
Yeah. Hey, on Saturday, he brought his wife with him.
Yeah.
Like, where's the missus?
Right.
Yeah. You might ask that.
Right.
What happened to Mrs. Claus? Yeah. He does a lot of that association. We were at the Wurlitzer building. They had the sponge candy mascot dressed up in a Christmas outfit. At first, he thought that was Santa because he was wearing the hat and red pants.
Yeah.
I had to tell him, no, that's not Santa. Santa's this guy over here. But he might ask Santa this time, where's your friend, the chocolate guy?
Yeah. He's got to stay there.
It's not because
I'm not there. So
yeah.
Now he's got
the Santa we're seeing might not have an answer.
That's true.
The whole thing fascinates me.
You've got to be good on your feet to have that job, I think. And by job, I mean Santa's helper.
Yes. Quick-witted?
Yeah.
I think so.
You've got to be. Now, someone put the Easter Bunny, and I want to tell you, as a kid, this was my thought process before. This was my thought process. The Easter Bunny, that's ridiculous. Easter Bunny's not real. I believe in Santa. I never believed in the Easter Bunny. I thought it was the most ridiculous concept.
I think I was right there with you.
Yeah.
I'm like a rabbit.
Right.
Like a big rabbit. The thing that does it is when you go to see the Easter Bunny. When you go to see Santa,
it's Santa.
Okay. Yeah. When you go see the Easter Bunny, I mean, there is a man inside there with the two like holes in the eyes, like everything.
It's never a good costume. I mean, even the one at the White House is a bad costume.
But it would be impossible to have a good costume.
Right.
Unless you were an actual rabbit.
And how did the rabbit get into your house? There was no story about the chimney. The rabbit comes to the
front
door?
Some people had a story. They did footprints and everything.
Right.
It never did that.
It's on my parents.
I always just, you know, the actual rabbit was a little far-fetched for me.
By the way, the Easter Bunny visited my parents' house until I was 30, so.
Jeez. That's pretty nice. Generous bunny.
Yeah, it really was.
Now, the Tooth Fairy, I got behind that a little bit because there is no way somebody could just, while I'm asleep, I would have woken up if it wasn't, you know, something magical.
Well, let's just say the Tooth Fairy forgot to come to my house when I lost a tooth and didn't tell anybody late at night.
Oh.
And then woke up and the tooth was still there.
Put it to the test?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, the Tooth Fairy must have missed our house.
you have to send out the telegram.
Yeah.
That's what you didn't know. You have to tell your parents because they know the mailing address to the Tooth Fairy. They have her beeper.
Right. you also have to tell them at an appropriate time because the Tooth Fairy has to hit the ATM machine before you.
Now, Tooth Fairy, what do we got laying around here? A couple stamps. That's worth something. It's got a monetary value. It's printed right on it. All right. Well, I'm glad to see that more people are in the Christmas spirit than usually are. Joe, in our next segment, I want to talk about the Supreme Court case that is getting a lot of attention this morning. It's almost kind of a repeat of something we saw 4 years ago. 4 years ago, the Colorado baker refused to create a same-sex wedding cake. He won his case before the Supreme Court. Now a Denver wedding website designer is going to be right back there in front of the Supreme Court asking the justices to answer a fundamental question. Can businesses refuse to serve customers on free speech grounds? She does not want to design a wedding website for a gay wedding. And Joe, I want to ask the more important question. I wish the Supreme Court would weigh in on this. Why do you need a website for your wedding?
Yep, that's a great question.
What? I think the Supreme Court should just shut the whole idea down, regardless of who's marrying who. What about you? 803-0930, and we'll be back here, B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Back here at B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. Hope everyone had a nice weekend. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer here with you. Joe, so the Supreme Court case to me is going to get all the attention for all the wrong reasons. Wedding website designer in Colorado, again, Colorado. I don't, you know, these cases keep getting brought up in that state.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going on in that, but a Denver wedding website designer is asking the Supreme Court to answer a fundamental question. Can businesses refuse to serve customers on free speech grounds? But Joe, I want to ask everybody else, to me, a more fundamental question. Do we need the job description of wedding website designer? Does your wedding need a website? And how ridiculous is everything becoming?
Now, can I say this? Because I think there's a difference. I think having like a website where it's, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so.com is one thing.
Just like the Santa question, I feel like I need to. I am taking wedding website designer as being like themazarowskis.com.
Okay.
With a homepage and links and photo galleries.
Okay.
And ads.
Because I don't want to be a hypocrite here. We did have a website through a website so you could RSVP, and it saved us a ton of money on reply cards.
Yeah, that's different.
Okay. Okay.
People do that all the time for weddings and other events, the quick RSVP online.
Okay.
I would say certainly my wife, because she's the one who always does it, really appreciates that.
Okay, yes.
Instant RSVP.
So there is that. But yeah, you're right. When I'm hearing website designer, I'm thinking of, as you said, something very quick, like thebeamers.com, and it's a website devoted to your relationship, your life, and the wedding that's going to come up. Yes.
I'm taking it to mean that it is a full wedding website, because it wouldn't be crazy for some of the other stories that I've read. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Savannah Engel is a fashion publicist in New York City, recently expanding her business into wedding publicity. For fees ranging from $5,000 to $50,000, her and her team will pitch not exactly famous clients to lifestyle magazines and websites that publish wedding content. She'll help couples pick photographers who would be right at home in a fashion spread, choose accessories that will pop in pictures. Couples are hiring branding strategists for weddings and trying to get their big day on a big stage.
Can I?
I do not understand the allure of, it's a great, I love weddings. I want you to make of it what you want. It's a great day to spend with friends and family. I even like a big extravagant. I've been to some extravagant weddings. They're a lot of fun. But even the extravagant weddings, I say, would go a little too far if we were talking website and personalized customized photo op events in order to get my wedding in a magazine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like you, Brian. I love weddings. I like a good backyard wedding. The only weddings I don't like is when you make me pay for the bar. But beside that, I'm a fan of weddings. This is going to come across hacky, and I'm sorry, but I have to say it. If you are spending this much money on PR alone, I mean, Brian, do you feel like when you read some of this stuff, it's gone from, you know, professing, is that the right word, our love for one another to how big can I make this event? And this isn't about a relationship at all. This isn't about a marriage at all. This is just about, I want my event to get the... I mean, I feel like if you're spending $50,000 on PR for your wedding, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, do you care about the person you're
spending
marrying?
$5.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Your PR, you're all about being in a magazine. Do you care about the relationship anymore? Or is it really just, hey, I got to find someone to marry because I am going to make this the biggest wedding ever because I can. You know what I mean? Like, why are you getting married? To
for
show
the
off my money. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want to get in, what was the magazine?
For the Facebook likes.
What was the magazine that mentioned here? I want to get in, you know, I can't see it right now, but I want to get in Lifestyle magazine. I want my wedding to take up the centerfold of the magazine, which, by the way, it's 2022, but that, I guess, magazines are for another show. I mean, it's a wedding. It's a wedding. I like a simple, hey, people I know are getting married. People I know are there. Let's socialize. Let's talk. Let's have fun. I feel like if you put this much money into the wedding, number one, I mean, I'm questioning the whole love thing, whatever. And number two, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
I love the quote inside the story from the wedding brand strategist who said, we're pitching the bride as a brand. And isn't that what every little girl dreams of? Someday I just want to be a brand.
A brand?
In and of myself. We're creating a story just the way we create a pitch for any other brand. We've got years of editorial experience. We'll find an angle. There's always an angle. Now, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong. The angle used to be two people in love with each other were getting married.
When
but
they get official.
That's not good enough in 2022. We need a better angle on this. That just doesn't cut it. You're not going to get the attention. Love, schmov. Get out of here.
After a while, it's not even about the actual wedding. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to build a brand, which I do think this about this. People now are more about that brand because of social media. Oh, my social media. I'm going to make myself a brand on social. So I think that's more of a, that's more typical than it used to be because people think of that when they think of their, like, what brand am I going to, how am I going to brand myself on social media? But I think it's a completely ridiculous thing to say about the bride.
Hey, I think that thought process is my least favorite thing about humanity.
But would you not agree that?
I totally agree, right, but yeah. Nothing disturbs me more than that thought process going through the heads of people.
I've heard people in this building say they want to make themselves a brand, but that's a different.
I hate that. And you know what? It's probably to my detriment because we are, at the end of the day, in the media business.
Yes.
But that idea of I'm not a person, I'm a brand, I have to express this through everything I do is just so. I just don't like it. What it's all very extra is the word that people use now. To have a website for the wedding, to have a PR strategist, to go so over the top.
To do a magazine shoot.
What about you? Is there something you've seen at a wedding where you just go, that's a little much? That doesn't sit right. 803-0930.
But in this article, I mean, The last quote is kind of what I'm saying. This generation getting married now is used to promoting their entire personal life, so why not publicize their wedding? Isn't there something wrong with that entire line? I mean, promoting your entire life? Promoting your personal life? Like, hey, everything about my personal life is on my social media. That is what I'm doing. I'm promoting everything I do on social media. Hey, I know. I take pictures of Virginia Tech kickoffs. I'm sure it gets annoying. But I think that's one thing. This is just, I think there's something taking it too far. And that's exactly what I think they're exposing here business.
She said, some come to me and say, I've got to push my profile. I mean, I would say, why? And I know this will do it. Oh, you're using your wedding day. It's not a wedding day, but it's an event.
It's a PR event.
Your profile. I mean, it's just incredible. We tell them this will help their personal brand, and why not? I don't know. It also comes down to this, that for some reason, and why I was saying before the break that it's Elon Musk, if he really wanted to rally everybody behind him, would buy Twitter and shut it all down.
Yes.
And never, you know, have it again. We have somehow this idea, I've got to push my profile. That to me is even worse than I need to help my personal brand. I have to push my profile. It's like nobody values privacy at all anymore. You want to be as open as possible. You want as many people to see what you're doing and paying attention to you. I don't know. Again, this is like something strange and so weird for somebody talking on the radio right now to say. Like, I never want anybody to know what I'm doing. Like, I love so much the ability to be a private person for the most part. Like, that's one of my favorite things. And it's one of my, like, having no reason. And this actually goes into the actual Supreme Court case, what the court will be deciding. But I do like having the, you know, why'd you do something? I don't know. I felt like it. Why don't you want to do something? I don't know, because I don't want to. Like, right. I just, that, like, feeling of privacy, not having to share anything with the world, not being forced to do or not do something, I treasure it like nothing else.
And I am very, let's say, I probably talk about my life a lot on the radio, right? Brian, I'd say I'm a little different. I'm a little more open about all that stuff. And I still say this takes it too far. I think people are taking it a little far with branding. I think that's what you get when you have TikTok, Instagram. It's all about, I need to build my social media. I need to build me. Again, it comes to, is your wedding about the actual event of marriage, or is it about the event and, hey, how much can I get out of me? I realize people have always said, oh, it's my day, it's your day. I get that. But this seems to be more about, hey, don't pay attention to my wedding. Let's see how much attention can be put on me as a person. That's what I'm reading this article as. And I think that's what the websites are.
Where's the line when it comes to, like, a wedding? And what, when you go to a wedding,
yes,
have you ever said, like, this is a little much, or this is over the top?
No, I've never been invited to a wedding then.
But I don't think I've ever really done that, you know, when it's like real people or people you know. Maybe that's just a reflection of who you're friends with and, like, yeah, whose wedding you would be invited to.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything at a wedding. Like, there's extravagant weddings, and those can be, like I said, those can be fun in and of itself. But I don't think I've ever seen or been to a wedding that goes to the level of, like, self-promotion.
No.
The way that they're talking about this and the way that a wedding website would lead me to believe that that's what they're gunning for.
And I was about to say that's a New York City wedding, but you've been to a New York City wedding, and you know what I mean? But when I read this, I can just say, oh, this is people in New York City. These are the people having these weddings.
I've been to a New York City wedding. One of the most extravagant things I've ever been to. Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
This is all of us, you know, sitting at the table like, whoa, this is cool. It was awesome. It was over the top, and it was great.
Yeah.
And we loved every second of it. But it wasn't over the top in the way that they were looking to, I don't know. There wasn't like an outside photographer. You know what I mean? Like the tabloids weren't invited.
The whole time you knew you were at a wedding.
Yes.
It didn't take the attention off the point of the wedding.
That's absolutely right.
I feel like
right.
If you're dropping this kind of money, you're taking the point off the wedding. And again, I'll go back to this. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. You know, I look back at my wedding, Brian, and hey, it was exactly what we wanted. It was perfect. It was great. And you know, it was set up to be the perfect night. Again, I think if you're dropping this kind of money, and I know we're talking about people who have a lot more money than me, I think you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Somebody on our there are a couple of good ones here. Someone says, no one has any shame. It's broken down a lot of walls, not for the better. I don't know what I got to take a moment to digest that one. Because I see where the person texting in is coming from. I don't think it's entirely true, but I think there is a little bit of truth to it. That there is a lack of humility that social media has brought on to just about everybody. That, like, before, say if you gave to charity or something like that, I think, like, most people throughout much of our society would just kind of do it and quietly do it and then just go about their business. But now it's, you know, maybe you do it and then you post on social media about how
yes.
you did it.
Yes. I mean, think about
I don't know if that's like, I think we're talking about the same thing. This texter saying no one has any shame. I think it's just, social media has brought on, unbeknownst almost to the people who are doing it, a little bit of a lack of humility.
Yeah. Hey, share that you gave to this charity. You get that after you give a donation?
Right.
And like, you'll see people who will, like, hey, look what I did.
To the credit of charities, it's like part of their pitch now.
Yeah.
Like, you could share that you're a good person, but only after you donate, which is smart by them, and I don't mind that. Somebody else saying, my family, and this is, It's the same, but it's different. My family's beside themselves because I haven't posted a picture of my one-month-old baby yet. How could I not want the attention? That's one that, I mean, this is more so than the wedding thing. This gets me in a couple of ways. I'll tell you what I don't like, and that is like the oversharing of what your kids are doing and them growing up and everything like that, because I'm just thinking of myself as a kid. I don't think I'd want that stuff on the internet, all the pictures of me when I was a kid from age 0 to 12 or whenever you start telling your parents to knock it off. Like, I don't think I'd ever want that. More annoying to me, Joe, is this, and I see it all the time. I see it more and more. People who will post photos of their kids to social media with their face blocked out by like
an emoji,
a smiling face, a heart, or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, look, I see what's going on. It's like, oh, well, I want to tell everybody about all the cool things and show off that I have a kid, but also make it seem like I don't really want to show off my kid. Listen, if you don't want to post a photo of your child, then don't.
Yeah,
it's a real easy way to not do that. It's not. You're not getting paid for these posts as far as I know. So you just don't need to do it in the first place. I will post, every now and then, some photos of myself and my son when I think, when we're dressed exactly the same. Happens a lot because I do the dressing. Soon it'll be three of us all dressed exactly the same.
All wearing Bills jerseys?
Yeah, something like that. Or camo shorts and a band t-shirt is probably more likely. I'll post photos like that every once in a while. Something when I think it's funny that people might enjoy. That there are people I know who might like to see it. Just, very seldom will I ever do, but it's only on social media where I know everybody,
right,
that's in the little circle.
Yeah,
you won't find me like tweeting out, right?
No.
Like photos.
And when it comes to Twitter, I probably would be in what the category of oversharing, but I don't know if I'm as far as some of these people, but I would say I'm probably oversharing on my social medias with some stuff.
I just the like sharing your kid for social media points is what it feels like sometimes. It's definitely what it feels like when somebody's posting the photo and then they've got
the
like
emoji.
the emoji blocking out the face. Because it's like, well, you don't actually want people to see what's going on in the photo.
So why don't you just text it to the people that you wanted to see that
photo?
Yes,
exactly. We have that going on. We have like you can do, the phones are amazing. It's like a shared album between it's like us and grandparents.
Yeah.
And there's probably like a couple other people on there. Or you could see, a photo and we'll post it there. And then everyone who would be interested in seeing it sees it without sharing it with the entire world and without our kid growing up one day and being like, what the heck?
I can only imagine if social media was around when my dad used to always have the camcorder going, what kind of things would have been on social media if it was around back then.
I am amazed, and this is like the social media dilemma all the time. Like, I feel like for so long, people were more than happy to just go through life being, for better or worse, completely anonymous. And not saying that like you never do anything notable, but just you don't need your name in the paper. You don't need your name, anyone else to know it besides the people who you know. And social media comes along and all of a sudden that's completely changed. And Joe, to some people's credit, they're not thinking that way anymore. And some people are making crazy dollars and making a career out of doing that. And to your credit, that's amazing. But there's a lot of people who aren't making any money and they're doing it for some sort of, social credit that I still have not yet to understand.
I say this probably once a week. I look at, the guy that throws the plungers on the target sign. I look at Mr. Beast, and I think, I wish I could have gotten a brand on social media so successful that guy's job now is to go to like, a Wawa and say, hey, I got some plungers I want to throw on your sign. And he has made, that is his social media. He gets advertising.
What?
You've never seen this guy?
No. I have no idea what you're talking
about. So he goes to businesses. Like, people will challenge him. I dare you to get a plunger on the leaf of the Apple, on the Apple logo.
Oh, my goodness.
And he'll go to the Apple store. He'll ask their permission, and he'll get it. He went to Dave & Buster's, and they said, if you can put it on the Dave & Buster's, we'll give you a free meal and $25 in tokens. I'm like, come on! I'm sure, you know, and he gets advertising money. He gets, this guy's made, I mean, his job is throwing plungers on signs. And you know what, Brian? I see your reaction, but I'm going to tell you right now.
You're never going to have the know-how to build an iPhone factory here. Let's get people throwing plungers.
But I'm going to tell you right now. I wish. You know, I look at these videos and I wish I could build something like that. The guy that goes around filming empty malls, abandoned buildings. I wish I could do something like that. I wish I had the thought of being one of the first people to do that. You know, they build up these brands on social media and it really pays off. But then, Brian, you said, you've got most people who it's just like, it's not working for you. That brand didn't work. That identity you're looking for on social media didn't work. But there are people who have made a heck of a living. And I there's so many more examples, but I go to the guy that throws the plungers.
A plunger guy.
Or the guy who goes, who will show something funny or show something from someone else's social media, comment and go, listen, and gives a...
At the same time, like, that's... I feel like that's different. Like, that eventually, plunger guy is your job.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not you, in everyday life. Is plunger guy, like, sharing where his family went on vacation?
No, he's sharing plungers.
Yeah. But, like, that's totally different to me than what you see shared on social media. Once you start making money, ahead and do whatever you want, but...
I'm saying, but you have a lot of people who think they're plunger guy. Get what I'm saying?
Think
their posts are going to get them to be plunger guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just not working for you. Now you're just annoying guy.
Just...
You know?
I'm just trying to be plunger guy.
By the way, plunger
guy.
What do
you want to be when you grow up? An astronaut, a fireman, a doctor. No, I want to shove plungers on a gas station sign.
I wish we had like a Odyssey sign outside and we could ask plunger guy to come here and throw plungers on the Odyssey sign.
Oh my goodness. Are they fresh plungers or used?
No, they're fresh. They're just for the signs.
Good to know.
And then he gets them down too. He doesn't just leave them there.
Oh, what a good Samaritan. Joe, I can't wait to see you back here tomorrow.
Well, I can't wait to be back.
We will be back. B-Maz and B-Bron, WBEN.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.